Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get yelled at because I'm going to repeat what my wife said. I will get yelled at. Pray for me after service, y'all, right? Okay, because I can really be in trouble. Seriously, guys, we need folks to step up. You don't have to be a teacher right now, but like Drew goes back there, he should never be by himself. Drew should never be by himself anyway, but in all seriousness, we need people to step up and Russ should never be by himself in the youth group. Okay? Never. Never. And never should he be alone with young ladies. Never. You know, we just need folks to step up. You don't have to be a teacher right now, but if you could just step up and step in and say, listen, I got an hour. I'll do it one Sunday a month or one Sunday every other month. Man, if we could have a list of people that we could depend on in each of those things, that would be great. That would be wonderful. And we need that, okay? So if you're not on the list, you didn't write your name on the list, go write your name on the list after service. Because we need people to step up and step in. You need to understand something. You will never grow spiritually as long as all you are is a church attender. You've got to understand. You need to take some load. You need to take some weight. You need to take some responsibility. That's just part of being a Christian, okay? And so the bottom line is we really need people to step up and step in. We're not asking you to teach right now, but the bottom line is eventually maybe, but we just, you know, even if you could just be in there. You know, you think in the 2 to 5 class we don't need a bouncer? Huh? Amen. You know, so very, very, very important. Very, very, very important. Please, step up and step in. Very, very, very important. This sermon today is so vital. And let me explain to you right from the beginning what this is all about, because I don't want you to miss this part. Is everybody listening? You can go to sleep right after that. You can start looking at the clock right after that. But the bottom line is right now, just pay attention and listen, okay? All right? You need to understand one thing. Everything God allows or does is perfect. Okay? Now, that automatically brings kind of a stress and tension to my mind and my heart. Because sometimes God doesn't do it exactly the way I want it done. You ever experienced that? Huh? Anybody? You know, he does stuff and you're like, dude, are you asleep? You know, what's that all about? You know, how could that be right? Everything God does or allows, he is the creator, almighty, sovereign king of the universe. Everything he does or allows is okay and right and just. I'll say it again because y'all missed it. Because you got to get this point, okay? Everything the sovereign creator king of the universe does or allows is perfect, just, and right. Amen. Okay? Let me tell you why you got to get that. You ever heard of the word stress? Anybody ever experienced stress? Anybody ever experienced fear? Okay? Anybody ever experienced frustration? Okay? Let's go all the way down. Everybody ever experienced depression, heartache, pain? You see, all of the only relief we have for that, because that kind of stuff is going to come. If you think going to church is going to take that away, you've lost your stinking mind. Okay? But here's what you need to understand. No matter what happens in or to or around your life, God Almighty, who loves you more than you love yourself and is in control of it all, allows it or does it perfectly. And what he's doing with a purpose. Somebody say amen. He's doing that with a purpose. And you could be relieved of all of that in time by realizing God's got a plan. You know, stuff goes into my life, and I've got to remember, you know, God works everything for good. because I love him and he loves me even more, thank the Lord. And the bottom line is he will see me through this. He will see me out of this. This did not come to stay. This has come to pass. That's kind of a biblical joke. All right? And the bottom line is it's okay. It's okay. And when you get that, if you get that, and can I be totally honest with you? There's a lot of people that talk about the good things of God after he's done them. I find very few that are able to talk about the good things of God and how good God is before or when they're in the storm. What we've got to do is we've got to decide God Almighty is perfect. He knows what he's doing, and everything he does or allows is perfect before the storm. It's hard though, isn't it? It's hard. Because I don't know about you, but I got things I want God to do. I got things I got God. I know when God ought to do them. Anybody else? Huh? Don't be lying. Don't be sitting back there all holy and pure. You know, the bottom line is this is a big issue. And this is why so many people have so little peace beyond all human comprehension, because they've never actually, by God's grace, decided this. This is huge. This is huge. I don't understand why God has done or allowed things. I don't know. I got two babies in heaven. Why? What's that all about? Well, let me help you with something. I didn't go, oh, well, God knows what he's doing. It's okay. No, 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 no. It took some time, Jackson, amen? Amen. I mean, it took some time for me to get there. You understand what I'm saying? It took my wife and I some time to get there, you know, and that's very important to understand. It's okay to have the stress. It's okay to have the fear. It's okay to, it's part of the human dilemma to experience this stuff. Are you with me? You know, here's what it's not okay: to stay angry and frustrated forever because God didn't do what you wanted. That is a foothold for the evil one to destroy your life. And that's why I start there. It's actually at the end, but that's why I start there. Because I see very few people who call themselves Christians actually there. They're there when God does what they want, but when it's in the middle of it, they're kind of, oh, you know, and the bottom line, I understand that. I understand that from a human point of view, but you need to understand you can prepare for that and you can count it all joy when you encounter various trials if you will allow God by his grace to get you there. Amen? I just think that's so very important because I see people who call themselves Christians as stressed and frustrated and depressed as everybody else. And that scares me. And I've been there. I'm not talking down to you. I've been there. And you'll probably hear this in the middle of the sermon unless the sermon gets too long. But, all right, you can go to sleep. You can watch the clock now and all that kind of stuff. Just whatever, all right? But this is an important passage of Scripture coming out of Daniel chapter 4. If you remember, the Israelites, because they sinned, and didn't sin, sinned, and didn't sin, and sinned, and didn't sin, and did, every time they had to relax. You see, when you're in good times, are you listening to me? When you're having good times in your life, that's when you need to be most afraid of being stupid. I'm probably not supposed to use the word stupid. That's not politically correct. Goofy. When things are good, we tend not to need God, don't we? When things are bad, oh, God, help me. When things are good, we're like, I'm bad. Remember that movie? We bad. I forget what it was called. But the bottom line is, I want you to hear this. I want you to understand it. Every time the Israelites thought they were bad, they got goofy and started following other gods and doing stupid things and doing the things God didn't want them to do. And they were right back in the same mess they were in the first place. Finally, God got fed up with it. And he said, okay, I'm going to break you from sucking eggs. I have no idea what that means. That was just an old Southern phrase that I use. But the bottom line is, I'm going to break you of this. The bottom line is, I'm going to have the Babylonians come, and they're going to defeat you, and they're going to carry you into captivity. I'm going to do, this is God, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to break you of this arrogance of you thinking you are something and somebody, when the reality is the only one that's somebody or something around here is God Almighty. Please learn that early. Please learn that early. You know, I know your mama said, oh, you're just somebody and you can do whatever you want. And your mama, I'm sure, was a lovely person. She should have taught you that the only person you really need to follow and the only person that really is somebody is God Almighty. Amen. Okay? And I want you to understand something. Sin is saying, I got this because I don't need you. Amen? Are you with me? The bottom line is you need to understand there are consequences for that. Anybody that's been following God for a while and broke into that, I've got it all together, I don't need you, I don't need you today, has found out. There are consequences for that. Amen? Anybody else ever experienced that? The bottom line is all of a sudden what you've done is you said, I don't need your grace, I don't need your wisdom, I don't need your help, I got this. And God's like, okay. And the evil one comes along and just makes us stupid. He does. He really does. If you don't believe me, just say that tomorrow morning. Hey, God, I got this. I don't need you today. I'm serious. It's a day you might as well just bend over because you're going to get a whooping. No, I'm serious. And this is very, very, very important. Well, there was this king named Nebuchadnezzar. And I mean, he found out. He was the king of Babylon, the ones that were holding Israel captive. And he thought he was bad. He thought he was somebody. He thought he was very special. And the bottom line is God showed him, no, you're really not. You're really not. Without me, you're really not. You know? And God put him through some stuff. And this is Nebuchadnezzar after God put him through the stuff. Right? Now, if you first read it, you think it's Daniel. But as you really read it, you start to realize this is Nebuchadnezzar who's writing to everybody saying, I really need to tell you who God is because he put a whooping on me and I learned who he was. Okay? And I think that's very important. He says, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed to me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion or his domination endures from generation to generation. Okay? You see, what happened was Daniel, if you remember, Daniel was a guy who could interpret dreams. He was a foreteller. He was a prophet. And he could really, really, God gave him this ability to be able to distinguish, to know dreams, to distinguish dreams, to interpret those dreams. And Daniel had been made one of the big wigs in the kingdom. And the king had this dream that really scared him. I mean, really, really scared him. But he did not know how to interpret the dreams. So first thing, just like the world always does, they called all the demonic people together, all the conjurers, all the soothsayers, all that together. Did you just hear what I said? You see, there's only two spirits in this world, okay? Nice is not a spirit, right? There's the spirit of God, and there's the spirit of Satan. I hear people, well, you know, I do my horoscope. You have just placed yourself right in the grip of Satan himself. Amen. There's a lady over here in our town hall, and she'll take you, and you can pay her to talk to your dead relatives, okay? And I want you to hear this. Listen, I probably didn't like my dead relatives when they're here. Why would I want to talk to them now? All right? But you can go over there and you can talk to your dead relatives. Hear what I'm saying. That is a demonic spirit. Amen. Okay? We Christians don't enter into the demonic. Amen. I'll say it again because most of you missed it. We Christians don't enter into the demonic. Amen. We don't do Ouija boards. Amen. We don't go to mediums, okay? Because that is a demonic spirit, right? And you need to understand that. And if that hurts your feelings, good, you need to learn. Okay, amen? Anybody? Everybody still love me? All that kind of stuff, but I thought I needed to handle that a little bit, all right? So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he calls all those guys. They can't interpret diddly. And so he calls Daniel, who had interpreted dreams before, and he said, you got to understand, he wasn't going to give Daniel full reign. He's like, you're one of the holy God's people. Maybe you can interpret this. And he told him this dream about how there was this big, huge tree with lots of beautiful leaves and lots of beautiful fruit on it. And it was good shade for everybody. And all of a sudden, this presence comes down out of heaven and basically cuts that tree down. But there's a stump that you kind of cover with bronze. And he's like, I have no idea what that meant. And Daniel says, well, I do. And he's kind of afraid because he really doesn't want to tell Nebuchadnezzar what that dream's really all about. He's like, Nebi, baby, I really wish this was about your enemies, but this is about you, okay? That tree that is so great and so huge and so vast and so full of leaves and so full of fruit, bottom line is, that's you. And one of these days, God's telling you right now, because he knows your heart and he knows your mind, he's going to send a presence down out of heaven, and that tree is going to be cut down. And the bottom line is, what's going to happen is you, at that time, your kingdom's going to be taken away, and you're going to be driven out into the field, and you're going to eat grass like the ox and the mules and everybody else, and you're going to be drenched in the dew, and you're going to be out there acting like a wild animal. Not exactly what you want to hear. Now, do you think Nebi Baby listened? No. He wanted an answer about what it was about, but he thought he was bad. He thought he had everything together. He thought he didn't have anything to worry about. About a year later, he's out. Oh, let me back up a little bit. Daniel looks at him and says this. So, therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Now, we're not allowed to tell people this today because it's not politically correct, even in the church. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Did he listen? Of course not. You mind if I say something? Are there times we don't listen? Of course there are. There are times that God tries to warn us. There are times that God reveals to us things that we know are not right, should not be in our lives, attitudes, arrogance, pride, things that should not be in our lives, a feeling of self-righteousness. Let me help you with something. I love all of you. You're all wonderful people, but every one of you are sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us. We do all understand that, don't we? You know, I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you put in the offering. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how much you do. The bottom line is, every one of us is a sinner in need of a Savior. There's nobody here that's so smart and so holy or so righteousness that we could ever for a day or a moment think, oh, I don't need God. I'm just wonderful. I'm just great. I've got my whole act together. I don't need him. I want you to understand something. I beg you, never allow yourself by the grace of God to go there. Amen? Amen. Nobody. And I've met plenty of church people. They thought they were there. I've met plenty of pastors. They thought they were there. And the bottom line is, next thing I knew, it was their downfall. Does that make sense to you? If there are things in your life that you control and you know God doesn't, and you're arrogant and you really don't want to hand over to him, the bottom line is I'm begging you this morning, repent of that sin and allow God to change your mind and your heart, because eventually there will be consequences with that and you'll be answering for that, and extraordinarily difficult things will come into your life because of that. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this stuff is so, so, so important to understand. 12 months later, 1 year later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, now listen to this, he said, is not this great Babylon I have built? The day you take it out of God's hands and he is no longer receiving the glory, you have just become the progenitor of everything in your life. You have just stepped into what we would call the dominion of the evil one, and he will take over your life and that area of your life. Are you listening to me, please? I beg you. I love you. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand this. If you think you're conquering something in your life, you can't. Okay? Let me help you with this. You can't fix your marriage. You can't fix your mind. You can't fix your tongue. I'll say it again because most of us should say amen. You can't fix your tongue. Okay, you can't fix your vision and your attitude. Okay, I don't care what Tony Robbins says, you can't. Are you with me? All right, you don't have the ability, but there is one that can. When you believe you are in charge, you've just stepped into the world of the evil one, and he will bring destruction to you in that area of your life. Amen? God, this is so important. He said, it is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. Thank God we never do that, right? Huh? We never think, I've done this. Isn't that wonderful? We never do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. All of a sudden, all of his authority, all of his kingdom was taken right out from under him. And the guy is out there, it says, for seven periods. I'm not sure what seven periods. I looked at it. I couldn't find it. But for a period of time, he's out there eating with the oxen. He's out there in the wilderness where the dew is falling. Now remember, this is the king of the greatest empire in the world. And all of a sudden, he's out there in the dew, eating the grass with the oxen and the donkeys. You say, well, what are you trying to say to me, preacher? What I'm trying to say to you is, kids, you need to understand something. There are consequences for everything you control. Because when you control it, it is sin. Well, it's not a bad thing. Everything you're in control of and God's not is sin. And the wages of sin is death. You need to hear what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you a story. Please don't look down on me. About, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years ago, I was sitting in my office with a bunch of ministers and people in the church and whatnot. I made a statement I will never forget, because God kind of, did God ever tap you on the shoulder or flick your head or something? You know? And I made a statement, life is just so easy for me. I'm in this big, huge church. Everybody thinks I'm something. That's what I was saying. You know, I got no problems like you peons. You know what I'm saying? You ever say something like that, feel something like that? About a year to 2 years later, I was out of the ministry and my whole life was an absolute depressed mess. I was in an arrogant form of depression. My wife kept telling me how to get out. And does anybody here actually like listening to your wife? You know, Dave's back there. Yeah, right. Big sissy. She looked at him, so he raised his hand. Yeah. But for almost 10 years, I was in this depression. And I was angry at God. I said things to God and used verbiage that no preacher should ever use. You say, well, I don't want you to be the preacher anymore. I'm good with that. Okay? And the reason God kept me in it was I was so stinking arrogant. I was so unwilling to surrender myself to God. God's like, if I let you out, I would do you a disservice. Yeah. Now, in the middle of it, I couldn't see that. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the middle of it, I was like, you just ain't doing what I want. Maybe you ain't God at all. You ever feel that way? You know, maybe you don't care. Maybe I shouldn't bother to pray. And you got to understand, I kept praying. I kept reading the Bible. I probably did more praying and reading the Bible then than ever in my life. But I was still mad at God. I was still mad at everybody. I was mad at my wife. I was mad at my son. And here's the ones I really didn't like them people that wanted to tell me what to do. Amen. You ever been there? What you be telling me? Let me tell you what good that did for me. None. It drove me deeper and deeper and deeper into my depression and my anger and my frustration, and it all had to do with me, although I blamed everybody else. Anybody ever been there? You say, well, I'm there now. Quit. You say, well, I can't quit. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You do not have to live under the domination of the one who wants to destroy your life. You say, well, my spouse doesn't want to go there. Well, you let him or her sit in there, whatever, but the bottom line is you move on and you lead them to the center of God's love and God's grace. Well, my kids are out of control. Well, you leave them there, whoop their butts, and then leave them there, and you move on leading them in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, you cannot wait on everybody else. You have to make a decision. No more. No more. No more am I going to be angry because I'm arrogant. I'm going to surrender myself to God and believe that what God does is perfect. Amen. The way God does it is perfect. God's timing is perfect, whether I like it or understand it or not. Amen? You see, the cool part was, the tree was being cut down, but Daniel told him, but one of these days, you're going to be restored. Now, when I say that again, somebody say hallelujah. One of these days, you're going to be restored. Hallelujah. I don't care where you are. If you will surrender your life to the love and grace and will and sovereignty of Jesus Christ, of God, the bottom line is you can and you will be restored. I don't care who you are. Are you with me? Do you hear what I'm saying? At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. And my sanity was restored. Now, a lot of people don't think that was restored in me. A lot of people think the boy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I'm good with that. Okay? Back at you, buddy. All right? My sanity was restored. Then I praise the Most High. I honor and glorify Him who lives forever. His dominion, His domination is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything He does is right and all His ways are just, and those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. My life is a mess. Why? Because you're walking in pride. You're walking in self-righteousness. You're walking in self-control. You don't want to hear that. Because you're thinking, but what I'm doing is not that bad. It's not about bad or good. We've made sin something that it's not. Sin is not the big 10. I don't do any of them biggies. The bottom line is, sin is saying, I will control this. That's sin. I don't care if it's one of the littlies or a biggies. The bottom line is, that's sin. And when we sin, and when we decide, I'm in charge, I'm in control, I'm going to do what I want, and the bottom line is, God loves you enough to bring consequences into your life. Are you with me? That ain't fun. Believe you me, those last couple of verses, Nebuchadnezzar was not saying when he was out there eating grass and getting dew all over his head. Are you with me? His nails are growing, all that kind of fun stuff, all right? But when he finally said, "How stupid am I? God Almighty warned me, and all I need to do is look up to heaven and put Him back in charge." After years of errantly shaking my fist at God, I finally surrendered and said, "God, you're right. I am a blooming jerk." None of you said amen. Okay? Maybe it's time for some of us to say, "Oh, man, there's some real mess in my life, and I want to blame my spouse, or I want to blame my kids, or I want to blame my mom and dad, or I want to blame my work, or I want to blame my neighbor, or I want to blame the preacher, or I want to blame, or I want to blame, or I want to blame." But the bottom line is this. I've blamed everybody but the person that was the problem. And that person is me. I'll say it again. Most of you must have missed it. I blamed everybody that wasn't the problem, because the person that was the problem is me. The only way God in His power and His grace can come right on the scene is when you make a decision. I'm the reason for this mess in my life. I'm the reason. Nobody else. And I'm going to look up, and I'm going to ask Almighty God to do that great saving, sanctifying, filling, healing work in my life today. And no matter who you've been, and no matter who you are right now, he loves you, and it's his desire to do that great work in your life right now, today.